This is Charisma News on the Charisma Podcast Network, one daily news story well told. I'm John Matarazzo. And with me today is Megan Basham from the Daily Wire. The other day, she wrote an article that was published, and it's entitled "How the Federal Government Used Evangelical Leaders to Spread COVID Propaganda to Churches." And this is something that you do not want to miss, and we'll be right back with her right after this. Your voice, beliefs, and freedoms are under attack. In his newest book, God and Cancel Culture, best-selling author Stephen E. Strang takes political correctness, self-censorship, and cancel culture head-on so that you can stand strong in a world that aims to take out you and all that you hold dear, replacing it with a secular, woke gospel and silencing the Word of God. Stand strong before it's too late and get your copy of God and Cancel Culture today at mycharismashop.com. Well, I'm here with Megan Basham. She's a reporter for the Daily Wire. And just as I did in the intro here, she wrote the article, "How the Federal Government Used Evangelical Leaders to Spread COVID Propaganda to Churches." And Megan, it's an honor to have you here. Thank you so much for your great journalistic work and just digging through information that you said is already out there, just hasn't been put together in such a way, in such an eloquent way. So thank you so much for writing this. I've been seeing it popping up on social media, and people are sharing it, people that I follow. And it is definitely something that us as believers in the church need to be aware of what's actually being said out there and who we're following. And we need to be as wise as serpents and as gentle as doves, but we need to be asking those questions just like the Bereans were. So Megan, thank you so much for being on the Charisma News podcast.
Well, thanks so much for having me. It's an honor to get to talk about this.
Yeah. I mean, it is a very interesting article. It is a great read. And I mean, it's written very well. It kind of pulls you in. You got to read the next paragraph and every time. Yeah.
That's good to hear.
Just by the title, "How the Federal Government Used Evangelical Leaders to Spread COVID Propaganda to Churches." Just by looking at that title, the first thing that gets me is, what about, they talk about separation of church and state all the time, and here's the government trying to use the church to further their agenda. Just by looking at the title, what do you have to say about that? Like, how do you
Yeah, I mean, and you know, I didn't really get into the ethics of that too much, but that could be a whole separate opinion piece on the appropriateness of the churches formally partnering with the government like that for issues that I would say are very much debatable issues. You know, I've had some critics ask me, well, how about, you know, for foster care homes or ministries like that, we partner with the government for that. And that is true. Of course we do. Mm-hmm. But I don't think there's a debate on whether foster care is good and fostering children and, you know, taking people into your home who need help. I think that the question of if school children should wear masks or the origins of the coronavirus, those things are a little less clear biblically. So, you know, those are maybe the things that you don't want to partner with the government on, to say that there is a biblical mandate. And that was part of what interested me in the story. I myself am not super militant about a lot of COVID policies. I think that was kind of a misperception when the story came out. I'm not an anti-vax person, but I'm also, you know, I'm not a hard pro-vax person. I've worked in journalism far too long to make hard statements. I know the story changes over time, and wisdom is often, absolutely, you know, sitting quietly and let's see what happens. And so a lot of my concern was watching a lot of Christian leaders not do that. They got very vocal and very sure of themselves in their pronouncements. And I, you know, even at the time, even before I was aware of Collins, I went, gosh, people are really sticking their necks out here when we have very little information. And it is very early to be making these pronouncements.
You know, I kind of noticed that too, because I, you know, on social media, I follow a lot of people, especially in the Christian world. And I found it interesting. Like, there's people that are so against it, and then there's people that were so for the vaccines and all this different, just basically, we're just going to go along with what the government's saying. And I'm like, something in me just didn't sit right, but I didn't do anything about that. You know, I just kind of had this thought in my head, but you actually had some connections to figure out exactly how to take the first step and kind of pulling the thread to see where all this leads.
Well, I mean, I can tell you that this would sort of probably surprise people, but a friend who is, you know, people sort of framed this argument, this article, as anti-establishment, anti-Christian evangelical establishment. And I'm like, well, it was actually a fairly establishment friend who sort of nudged me and said, you might want to take a look at Francis Collins, the National Institutes of Health director. He's Anthony Fauci's boss. So you don't see him as much out on the news circuit, on the cable news shows, mm-hmm. but you do see him. And you see him a lot more if you pay attention to Christian media. And that was very interesting to me that when my friend mentioned it, said, you might want to take a look at this guy. I then began noticing that he was everywhere on all the Christian podcasts, on all the major leaders in a lot of major denominations, particularly with a lot of Southern Baptist leaders, but also Presbyterian. And I mean, just kind of running the gamut. So I'm reading these articles at major publications, Christianity Today, Gospel Coalition. And maybe that's part of what made people angry about the article was I'm a reporter. So I report names, I report facts, I report details. And so I was very specific in the article. Okay. The Billy Graham Center at Wheaton has partnered with the CDC and hosted Francis Collins and put out a lot of narratives that Francis Collins was pushing. And to give you one example, one of those narratives was, for example, that the notion that the coronavirus was developed in a Wuhan lab was a conspiracy theory. He straight up said in Christianity on a Christianity Today webinar live stream, no, it is man-made. I can assure you nature made, or it was not man-made, nature made this. This is where this originated from. And from there, you saw kind of all the Christian leaders saying, it is conspiracy theory to suggest that this virus originated in a Chinese lab. Well, you know, common sense, one, makes you pause and go, well, now hang on a minute. Why would it be conspiracy theory? We're talking about a virus that originated in a city that has an internationally known laboratory facility that investigates and researches novel coronaviruses.
Right.
That's not a theory to set aside too easily. And yet they were pronouncing it with just absolute confidence based on this man's word. So then you start going, well, who is this man?
Sure.
And I don't want to just run at the mouth. I can do that. I'm a reporter. But to give you a little background, when you started looking at Francis Collins, you went, okay, the reason they are platforming this particular man is one, he's worked on the Human Genome Project. He's an internationally renowned scientist. He's the head of a major government department. But the big key for them was that he is a brother in Christ. He's a believer. He is a Christian. We've known him for many, many years. We know him to be a very thoughtful Christian thinker. And that was the basis for which they were saying, you can trust this man. And I'm not exaggerating. I mean, Rick Warren said, this is a man of integrity, a man you can trust. So that's a pretty public character witness.
Yeah, definitely. And if, you know, you have Rick Warren saying that this is somebody that you can trust, then, you know, there's a good chance you feel like you just want to trust them. Because especially if Rick Warren's your pastor, or if you've read The Purpose-Driven Life, you feel like I've got something, you know, this guy has something good to say, and he's giving credence to this guy. So he's giving credence to Health Director Francis Collins. So you kind of take it at face value. And what's the downside of that? I mean, I mean, I'm just being facetious here, but like, just kind of explain about that.
It turns out there's some pretty big downside. And I don't want to single out Rick Warren, because the point was that he was hardly alone in this. Reporting on it in a different angle, Time Magazine sort of made a joke that Francis Collins was making the round to the Christian intelligentsia. So he was speaking to everyone from Russell Moore to Ed Stetzer, to Tim Keller, N.T. Wright, just, you know, very big luminary names in the Christian world. Well, at that point, the downside is you start to look at Francis Collins' record as the head of the NIH, and there's some fairly disturbing things there. And I go into detail in a lot of this in my article, but to give you some sense of it, he is a bold proponent of fetal tissue research. And that is very, you know, he claims that he was
and fetal tissue from aborted babies.
Yes. And that was part of my issue, like with the Christianity Today webinar, they presented him as someone who believes in the sanctity of life. Well, they didn't define that. And if you go talk to most pro-lifers, that is not what they would define as someone who believes in the sanctity of human life, someone who is fine with fetal tissue research. And it's important to know he's not just fine with it. He has directed, he is the man in charge, has directed record level spending toward it. And when the previous administration pulled back funding from that kind of research, he was very clear in talking to secular media outlets saying that he was disappointed and that he felt that was a wrong decision. So, you know, he's been an activist for fetal tissue research. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if that information is public, and it's easy to come across that if you look up who this Francis Collins is, what do these pastors and leaders, what do they gain from associating with him?
Well, and before we jump to that, I just want to add a couple more things because I think it's important to give you the broad.
Yeah, please.
Just because scientifically you might have a scientist go, well, okay, but abortions happen and I could see sort of some wiggle room on that maybe ethically. I don't personally, but I've met people who do. And there's also other elements that you go, okay, so there's been some horrific research into aborted tissue, harvesting of infant organs. There's also the fact that he, when he is speaking to a secular government audience, declares himself a very bold LGBT ally and advocate and has directed a lot of funding to research that includes giving opposite sex hormones to children who believe that they are in the wrong gender. It includes giving mastectomies to girls as young as 13. So he has approved funding and grants for that type of research. And you go, I don't know how someone who claims the name of Christ, and I'm not judging his salvation, I'm not judging his position in the Lord. I'm just saying there is an issue with declaring the name of Christ on one side and then also declaring oneself an ally and backing that declaration up with hard funding into some research that is incredibly damaging to children. Yeah.
Wow.
So anyway, I just wanted to plug that in there because I went, look, all the way around, it's really hard to understand how his policies back up his public profession of faith.
Mm-hmm. So what are these people that are associating with him, what do they have to gain from this? I mean, it's if they're speaking very highly of him, there has to be a reason for that.
You know, that was a question I asked myself a lot. And I reached out to all the men that I name in the article and all of these pastors and leaders, and none of them responded to me. So that was interesting because they were all very public in their praise of him. They were very public in their platforming, in their interviews. And as I said, I think it's important to note that he was virtually the only source of information that they went to on COVID policy and what's wise COVID policy and things like it demonstrates your love for Jesus and your neighbor to wear your mask and to have your children wear masks and things that I would think fall under Christian liberty and personal conscience. So I do wonder what was the benefit there? And to this day, I'm not sure because they won't talk to me. But what I can tell you is I go, this is a very, very highly placed man. He ran just up until about a month ago, one of the largest, most influential health departments in the world. He's someone who, you know, Rick Warren tells the story that they met at the World Economic Forum in Davos. Not a lot of people have access to Davos with the billionaires.
That's a red flag.
Right. So you go, I don't know, but I can tell you that these are features of his life and his platform. And so I don't know, you'd have to ask them and I wish they would talk to me. I would have liked to get that chance to explain it.
Sure. Sure. Now you just said something that I know people are going to be asking this, that are listening. You said that, up until about a month ago, he was the director of there. What happened about a month ago?
So he, resigned and ostensibly he just said, nobody should have this office for too long. But in the regular news cycle, we go, that's kind of the I'm quitting to, or I'm leaving my job to stay home with my family kind of deal where it's felt like a bit, and I'm just, this is my perception. I'm not stating this as hard reporting, but it felt like I want to get out of the storm of controversy that is right now surrounding this department. Because what happened since then, if you have been paying attention to the news, is that some leaked emails have come out showing that Francis Collins and Anthony Fauci worked together to suppress the lab leak theory, which now has gained a lot of traction with a lot of experts. In fact, many experts believe it is the likely explanation now. Not that it's a bioweapon, but that it was human engineered through gain of function engineering that may have been funded by the NIH, which was run by Francis Collins. So he would have reason to want to suppress that information. I'm not saying that he did. I'm just saying there is a conflict of interest there.
Yeah, that's very interesting because, I mean, I remember those emails come out. And I know when things like that happen, you have a group of people that are going to dig and they're going to research and they're going to look and try to pull every thread that they can to see what's attached to it. And then there's a group of people on the other side that are going to try to just suppress that. And just, you know, they're saying that that's a misinformation campaign. You can't believe anything like that. So how do we know who to believe? Like, what do we do? What can the average person that's listening to this, you know, what can we do? How can we find that information for ourselves? What's the best advice that you can give in that
regard? You know, it's funny. I thought about that a lot as I was working on this, and I kept coming back to that proverbs about many counselors. And, you know, and the proverb, I'm going to misquote it, but it was essentially that, you know, plans succeed through many counselors, and the overarching inference of that is that listening to a lot of people is often wise, and maybe not getting all your information from, say, one guy just because he's a particularly elite, established guy. So that would be one thing that I would go, you know, I from the get-go was like, I don't like this idea and what Collins and Fauci did, that we are going to discredit other experts, you know, other Ivy League trained epidemiologists and call them fringe. And that was something else that they did. They reached out to media contacts and said, this was in those emails, how do we suppress, how do we portray these other experts, these other scientists as fringy and conspiracy theorists, which is, you know, it makes you a little sick to go, I think they did the same thing with Christian media. I think they went, how do we reach out and get this out to a captive audience in churches. But so that's one. I'm like, you know, do the opposite of what they did. We don't suppress discussion. We don't suppress debate. I think having these conversations. There's also, you know, the proverb about the first to state his case seems right until another comes along and cross-examines him. And like, there is a reason that we have that cross-examination process of public debate. And when you remove that, it allows for a lot of lies to fester. You need the disinfectant of sunlight and getting everybody's opinions out into the open. And that's how you sift through this information, not by shaming people going, don't you spread conspiracy theories. I mean, I know there's a lot, there's some crazy things out there, but I think it's important to go, some reasonable things were lumped in with the crazy and very few people were believing the really crazy things. I mean, I got very frustrated in the news cycle of QAnon because I kept going, look, I don't know anybody who's really into QAnon. I keep seeing it in the news as a major thing, but I'm pretty deep into the Christian world, and I don't know anybody who believes this. I do know people who think, well, now hang on a minute about that lab leak. And it turns out that was reasonable. And so I think most people are good at sifting what is reasonable information and what's a little tinfoil hatty.
I like that. One of the big things that we need to always do is listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, because that's vital. You know, he's going to give us wisdom. God promises that. Read the Word of God. You know, study to show yourself approved, and that's in the Word of God, but also in daily life. You know, don't just take somebody's word for it because you like that person. If you're looking at a pastor or a leader, or whether it be social, political, in the church, where educational, if you're looking at a leader and they're telling you information, it's okay. And actually, it's very good to ask, well, where are they getting that information? Right. And see, you know, kind of follow that, because there's, with apologetics and, you know, learning how to defend your faith, there's the concept of the unmoved mover, where eventually, if you look back at everything, and you say, well, this caused this thing to happen, and this caused this thing to happen, But if you go all the way back, it has to start somewhere. Everything has to start somewhere. And so whether it's a lie, you can trace it a lie back to that origin point, or the, you know, creation, you can trace that all the way back to God saying, let there be light. And so, but we need to trace it back and use the wisdom that God has given us to be able to do that, just like Megan has done, where she's just asked the questions, let me look into this, let me dig deeper. And I want to encourage everybody that's listening to dig deeper. Don't just take things at face value. Read multiple sources, you know, look what you can do, and just use your wisdom. Use the Holy Spirit wisdom that God has given you. Megan, any closing thoughts before we wrap up here?
No, I mean, that was great. And maybe if I were just to add one more thing, it would be, you know, part of this issue too, that when you look at scripture, you go, there's also a lot about, you know, let another man's servant answer to his Lord. You know, if it's not something that the Bible is very clear on, we don't have to agree, and that's okay. You know, you don't need to bind your friend's conscience if they have a different point of view about some issues that are gray area issues. And I think this has been a unique season of gray area issues where we all need to, you know, tone the judgment down a little bit.
Yeah, that is very good wisdom. And you'll make a lot more friends and keep friends if you, you know, tone that judgment down and you listen more than you talk. Megan, how can people follow you on social media and how can they read this article as well?
So I hang around on Twitter mostly. That's kind of my key social media. So I'm at Meg Basham on Twitter. And you can read my work at just dailywire.com. Dailywire.com, know that.
Dailywire.com. And Megan, it's been a pleasure to have you on the Charisma News podcast. You know, I look forward to seeing the next thing that you dig deep in and you have some breaking news. So thank you so much for being a part of the Charisma Podcast Network.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to today's Charisma News podcast. One story, well told. For more stories, visit us online at charismanews.com. Subscribe to this podcast for more Charisma News every weekday. This is John Matarazzo. God bless you.